Blog Talk Radio.
And you are here today because anyone who ever bet against you was wrong. Because any obstacle that ever dared get in your way, no matter how invincible it may have seemed, it was defeated by your innate power to overcome. You are here today because you are powerful beyond measure. Stop denying yourself of this truth. Your greatest self has been waiting your entire life. Don't you dare make it wait any longer.
A Better Today welcomes you to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free with host, speaker, writer, and personal coach, Steve Maraboli. Steve and his expert guests take you on a quest for truth and highlight philosophies and strategies that help you release your greatest self. It's time to focus on your potential instead of your limitations. Here's your host, Steve Maraboli.
Hey, welcome. You're listening to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free. I'm your host, Steve Maraboli. You know what to do. You can participate with this show through AOL Instant Messenger. You could also participate through our website. If you choose AOL Instant Messenger, the screen name is ABT Radio Show. That's one word, ABT Radio Show. You could also participate through our website, empoweredlivingradio.com. That's empoweredlivingradio.com. I want to say hello to the A Better Today community. Do you know how great it feels to know that we started this? And many of you listening were here on the very, very first day we did this show. You were here in the beginning when we were just expanding. You've been a part of the expansion process. You've been a part of everything. You know how great it feels to see our words, our series, our quotes, just all over the internet, all over the world in multiple languages. It feels incredible, and I want to thank the A Better Today community for getting out there, for participating, not only in our own journey, but in the journey of those around us, for getting out there and being the change we wish to see, no matter what you believe, being the change you wish to see, taking actions in your life, and thank you so much. Never, ever forget the power of one kind gesture. One person at a time, one day at a time. It's that simple. One kind gesture, one person at a time, one day at a time. Go out there and be the change you wish to see. What are we talking about today? Today, the subject title today is So, Now What? Well, that came from email. I got a bunch of emails. And the stuff we talk about in this show is at sometimes we discuss Bronze Age beliefs, really. When we get into certain types of spirituality, we talk about a business, we talk about all kinds of things. And what we've been talking about, I'd say clearly for about the last year or so, has been a realm of empowerment with a tremendous amount of rationality injected into it. Really, really going for it as far as rational, empowered living, rational, empowered spirituality, a spirituality that doesn't turn its back on its humanity, a humanity that doesn't turn its back on spirituality, but instead a balance. And when you incorporate and inject that kind of living, that kind of reality into your life, things happen. First of all, you start noticing things. We've said this so many times that nothing is as unpopular amongst friends and family than positive change. You make people very uncomfortable when you behave in a way that they don't have you set in their mind as behaving. If you behave in a way that they're not used to, they will do their best to make you stop. We know this. Well, when you start truly empowered living, when you live in an empowered mind, in this empowered state of reality, things around you start to change because you start to change. Things around you start to move because you start to move. And maybe you turn your relationships upside down. Maybe you turn your work, your business, your ethic upside down. Maybe you're healthier in mind and body than you've ever been before. Maybe you're wealthier than before. Maybe it's the opposite effect. Maybe it's a shrinking down that you're doing, a clearing out, a spring cleaning of your nonsense. And with your nonsense, everything that has been poisoning your soul, you see so many different things. But some of you, including the ones who have been listening, some of you who haven't been, who have kind of been listening, because again, this is a very, very difficult, self-empowerment is a very, very difficult thing to incorporate into your life. Because as soon as you turn off this show, everything around you is not about self-empowerment. It's empowering something else. It's a product that's being sold. It's most likely a product being sold. Sometimes the product is a person or a guru. Sometimes it's an actual product. But it's usually a product being sold. Even the news you watch, the news is selling you products. So it becomes difficult to live this empowered life. And sometimes you feel rejected. You feel at a loss. You feel at a crossroads. Sometimes it's easy to feel this way. And we've all felt this way before when choosing and living an empowered life. It's easy to dilute yourself. It's easy to want to dilute yourself, to want to go back to the way things were. It was so much easier when I pretended. How many of you have said that? It was so much easier when I was pretending. Before I started rocking the boat, it was so much easier. But now what? There's so many places that you can be in your life after choosing to live in an empowered way or even choosing not to. But maybe you flipped up your relationships upside down. Maybe you flipped up your career. Maybe you're moving. You're changing your financial situation. You're out there and you're living it. But you start finding out that there's few people out there, folks. Why do you think that there's very few people you read about in the newspapers and in the success stories and the heroes? Why do you think there are so few of them? Because there are few people who actually choose to live in an empowered way. A whole bunch of people choose to want to live in an empowered way, but very few of them actually do it. And so when you start doing it, you start thinning out the crowd around you and the reference points around you. And you can't help but sometimes think, so now what? Sometimes you went the route of the guru and you start thinking about the gurus and all the gurus have taught you, and the gurus said all you got to do is put out your intent. Oh, yes, all you've got to do is have a strong intent. You have to want it and the universe will respond. It is an intent that has been known for long and long, for centuries and centuries. It's been somewhat of a secret that all you have to do is want, and there's a law that will comply to your wants. So you put all your eggs in that basket, and when you realize that it was nonsense and it didn't work, when you realize that that's not fully the way things work, you think to yourself, so I put my eggs in all this basket, and now what? So now what? And you've listened and read, and maybe you've read the old scriptures, and the old scriptures tell you to behave in a certain way, even though you know that the people reading you those scriptures aren't behaving in that way. You choose to behave in that way. But it doesn't work out the way it promised it worked out. So, now what? You're at a loss. Sometimes you feel defeated. You're struggling. Sometimes you feel defeated. You feel denied. Sometimes you feel like you've been lied to. Sometimes you feel like this is just your calling. It is just my lot in life to be struggling. And you feel this way and you say, so now what? I want to ask you today, just hear me out for a minute. I want to ask you today if, and I've been there with you. I've been there with you years ago. I was there with you. When we ask, so now what? What if the only answer that you could come to now has been the answer all along? Call me crazy, but what if you are enough? I know that sounds like an out there a concept these days, but what if you are the now what? What if you're good enough? What if you took a minute to be rational about this and started realizing, yes, maybe Steve's right. Maybe prayer and meditation wasn't what got me into my mess, so it's definitely not going to be what gets me out of my mess. Maybe magic rocks and special prayer beads and all this stuff, maybe since that didn't get me into the financial situation I'm in, it's not going to be what gets me out of the financial situation I'm in. Maybe subscribing to some guru's newsletter didn't get me into this physical shape I'm in, and it's not going to be what gets me out of this physically unhealthy shape. Maybe Steve's right. What if I'm enough? What if you are the point of origin? You know, if you've been listening to the show for years, you see that we've kind of progressed through the human experience. We've progressed through the spiritual experience. And all along, while speaking with today's great thinkers and communicators, while speaking with some of the most commanding people in pop psychology, pop culture, pop spirituality, while speaking to some of the most, some extremist spiritualists and some extremist secularists, while doing that all along the way, I have never stopped my fervent dedication to studying and refining, improving, enhancing my own thoughts and my own ideas of how this works, my careful and meticulous observation of how this human experience actually goes. And for me, the most important thing is understanding the human potential to such a point that I could explain it to everyone I meet within a couple of sentences. I want to refine it, I want to know it, and I want to write it down so that when I die, these words keep going and keep breaking people free of the prison they voluntarily place themselves into. We've been doing this for years. And when I tell you that what I'm coming to terms with, is that we are in fact the point of origin for everything in our world. For everything in our world, we are the point of origin. We set the standard in so many dimensions, in so many dimensional ways of thinking. We set the standards for ourselves. We set the standards for how people treat us. We set the standards for how we treat ourselves. We set the standards for how we're going to live. We set the standards for our finances. We set the standards for our physical health. We set the standards for our relationships. We are the point of origin. There is nothing. There is nothing that would lead me to believe anything else, even if I went full spiritual on you and picked up a Bible and started preaching from the pulpit. Only things I could come across in biblical scholarly teachings are more teachings that tell you that the Creator, the God, is within you, which tells me that you are the point of origin. Whether you pick up the Upanishads of India, ancient scriptural texts, if you pick up the Zohar, the Judaic Book of Mysticism, the Kabbalah, if you were to pick up the Torah, the five books of Moses, if you were to grab the Old Testament, the New Testament, if you were to grab the missing testaments, when they're known as the Christian Apocrypha, if you were to grab any type of thing, the Egyptian Book of the Dead, the Egyptian Book of the Living, if you were to grab anything, if the Mahagadhi texts, if you were to grab the Dead Sea Scrolls, no matter what you grab, if it was written by the Essenes in Qumran, if it was written by the desert nomads that were walking with Moses, no matter what you grab, no matter what you read in ancient spiritual traditional texts, you will read the same thing. That although the characters are different, although the name and nature of that God is different, the truth remains that you are the point of origin for everything that you experience. So why are we still looking other places? Why are we still looking other places? Why isn't it rational to us? So I started delving into a different place. This was a couple of years back now. I decided I want to learn everything there is to know about the physiology of thought. The physiology of thought, the neuropsychology, the neuroscience. I want to know about this brain. I want to know about the brain's role in my God, in my relationships, in my thoughts, in my agreement with reality. I want to know why what's the myths, what's the truth, what's happening, why is it happening, how come it happens different to everybody if we're all humans, why are we having different brain and synaptic responses, why is this happening, and out of my utter ambition, I've began a course of study. Now here I am a couple of years later and understand it. I have a profound, much more profoundly deep understanding of how that all works. And what I feel so blessed to say is that I have a lot of science that now backs the stuff I've been saying since I was a kid, basically, since I'm 20, 21, 22 years old. I just understand it at a scientific level as well. And it's very, it's simple but not easy as we talk about life. Life is simple in general, but it's not easy. And what happens is we get caught in this dissonance. We get caught in this hoping. We get caught in it. And that's why we continue this cycle. We continue this cycle of looking everywhere else but within ourselves for the answers. For looking at, for a source of power outside of you, a source of wisdom outside of you, a source of strength outside of you, when there is nothing wiser nor more energizing nor more fueling than what's within you. Even if you feel that I empower you, if I inspire you, and that I fuel your journey, my ego loves every second of that. However, the truth is, all I'm doing is activating something within you. I'm not giving you anything but a reminder of how badass you are. Of course, I could be a guru type and instead take advantage of that, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to remind you that you love what I say because it's what you know. It's that story I used to tell. And when I was stationed in the military back in the 90s, it was freezing. I was with one base in Minot, North Dakota, and it was freezing. And because of this, as you can imagine, car batteries would die all the time. And there was always some people, you know, stranded on the road. And you would come and you would set up the jumper cables and jump start them. And then they would go on their way. And you would always see this kind of thing. You'd either drive by someone being jumped or you'd pull over and jump start one's car. And someone would pull over and jump start your car when it died. and it was just a thing that's a naturally occurring thing while you're stationed in a place that is so cold. But what I noticed about this phenomenon of jump-starting other people's cars is that it's a simple process. When you pull up to somebody who's got a dead battery, you've got to jump-start their car. You're not replacing the battery. You're not replacing a battery. This is an issue of language, not of actual. It's not actually dead. What you're doing is your car battery is functioning properly, efficiently, and effectively, and you're pulling up to a car whose battery is not. And when you connect the wires, when you connect the cables, Is the battery that's functioning properly teaching the other battery how to be a battery? No. Is it replacing it? No. Is something magical happening? No. What's actually happening is my battery that's functioning properly is just reminding, connecting with, and reminding your battery that it's a battery. I'm reminding you that the source of power is within you. Your battery doesn't start running. The jump-started battery, it's not running off the other battery's energy. No. The other battery just reminds it that it has its own energy to run off of. It reminds it of its potentiality. It reminds it of its strength. It reminds it of its persistence and perseverance. It reminds it that it is the source of power for the journey. And that's what I do for all of you. I remind you. Because maybe other people in your life don't remind you. I remind you that you're the point of origin for your power. And as long as you look elsewhere, you're going to be frustrated. As long as you look elsewhere, you're going to say, so now what? But the second you start looking within, realizing that you're the point of origin, everything changes. That question, so now what, becomes answered. Me, I'm what? Me, I'm what? I'm going to move. I'm not going to wait for circumstances to change. I've been waiting 30 years, 40 years, 50 years for circumstances to change. I've tried every trick in the book except for recognizing that I can change the circumstances, that they will not change because they didn't change in this place to begin with. I created these circumstances. I can change these circumstances. Whether I'm proud that I created these circumstances, I might feel foolish, I might feel regretful, I might feel resentful, I might feel silly, I might feel dumb, I might feel embarrassed. Regardless of what it is, let me free myself of those horrific self-judgments and recognize that I got me here, I could sure as hell get me out of here. I just needed a jump start. Thank you, Steve. I just needed a jump start. But my battery isn't Steve. My battery isn't insert guru name here. I am that battery. I am that battery. Whether it be reminded by a guru, reminded by a poem, reminded by your idea of God, reminded by your pet, whatever the hell it is that reminds you of that divine spark within you, say thank you and get your ass moving on your journey. Say thank you and get your ass moving on your journey. And don't forget along the journey to jumpstart other people. If you see them stranded in their journey, give them a jumpstart. Don't you dare become the guru, but give them a jumpstart. Remind them that they're awesome and be on your way. You're back to your journey, they're back to their journey. For me, that's the best way to live. It's the most empowering way to live, and it's the most effective way to live because you are creating. It's the most true way to live because it's the closest aligned with the truth. The second I stop and I hope and I pray and I meditate and I wish that something's going to happen that isn't the something that got me here in the first place, that's the days I start feeling most frustrated. That's not what prayer was designed for. Prayer is a conversation with yourself. Prayer is vital in keeping your own head clear. Prayer is for clarity. Meditation is for clarity. It's beautiful, brilliant, spiritual, human. It's some great things to pray, to meditate, but to use the prayer and the meditation as an action, it's silly. Is it a Chinese proverb, I think, that says wishing well or good intentions don't cook rice? It's the truth. Good intentions are great. Prayer is great. Meditation is great. That's fantastic. But you are not going to meditate your way to health because you didn't meditate your way to unhealthy. Your meditation didn't eat those cookies. Your meditation didn't eat those brownies. Your meditation didn't eat those burgers. Your meditation didn't tell you to not exercise. So it's sure as hell it didn't get you there. It's not going to get you out of there. It's going to be great in keeping you cool, calm, and relieved and focused. But you got to go. You got to go. And that's what's going to get you there. That's what's going to get you there. Be rational. Be rational in your movement throughout this. The most greatest thing, I sometimes get emails from people who say, you know, Steve, you're sometimes when you talk about rationality, I feel like you're moving away from a spiritual conversation. Well, folks, you feel that I'm moving away from a spiritual conversation because you've been duped. You've been duped to think that rationality is in the opposite direction of spirituality. That's because people have been selling you. They can't sell you the magic prayer cloth if you're injecting rationality. So, yes, of course, they've got to make them seem like rationality is an opposite, a foe to faith and spirituality. But that's wrong. Where in your own life, in your rational life, have you seen that to be true? No. If anything, I'm moving further into the realm of spirituality, but it's a rational human spirituality. They are twins, not enemies. They are equal parts of the experience, not enemies. It's just that you're not used to hearing that because you're not used to listening to somebody who isn't selling you something. How does your life change when you inject rationality into your spirituality? I'll tell you how it changes. You don't like the way you feel. Maybe you ate a little too much and were a little unhealthy in the winter and the spring comes around. You don't like how you feel. You meditate on what actions you're going to take, and then you get up and you go take those actions. That's what happens when you inject rationality into your spirituality. When you inject rationality into your spirituality, you don't think that lighting some essence and some candles and saying, repeating some words and rubbing a magic rock around your body is going to get you healthy. Instead, you realize, oh, I could do all this and then I can be healthy. I can actually make healthy decisions. Since rubbing a rock on my body and this incense isn't what got me to this place, what got me to this place is really bad decisions. What got me to this place is really bad decisions. So no, writing that, oh, I have on my wall, I put my bank account number with $1 million in it. And now I'm waiting. Well, you're going to be waiting a hell of a long time. because writing that isn't what got you into the financial situation you're in. Bad decisions got you there. Good decisions get you out. Life is simple. It's just not easy. Bad decisions got you there. Good decisions get you out. That's how this works. You can laugh and think that it sounds too simple. Not what you should be laughing at is the way you've gone out of your way to make it complex. Oh, bad decisions got me here. So clearly, Guru's newsletter, Guru's, I can manifest whatever I want website, Guru's, I'm affirmations button, whatever the hell they're selling you these days, that's going to get me out of this. It can't get you out of this. It gets them. They have taken, clearly, if you're buying things, they've taken the actions to create something to sell you. So, yes, their finances will reflect in a positive way. But you're not. Yours isn't. Yours isn't. What happens if you inject rationality? What happens if you inject rationality? Let's say, I live in New York, on Long Island. Let's say I decided to go for a walk one day or go for a run, like Forrest Gump, just start running. And I run north. Now, as I run north, I start going through Connecticut. I'll start hitting the New England states. I'll hit Massachusetts. I'll hit New Hampshire. Now, let's say I started running north and realized, you know what? I need to go back home. I need to be back where I was before. I don't know what the hell I made all these decisions to come run up here for. I need to go back. Now, what's going to get me back home? Going east? No. Going west? No. Going more north? No. What is the only thing that's going to get me back to where I wanted to be? It's going the opposite direction. So I went north and didn't like it. If I want to go back, the only thing I can do is go south. That is the only thing that's going to help me go back, right? That is logical. That is real. That is truthful. That is honest. That is simple. Yet in today's age of spirituality and manifestation and all this other stuff, I made it all the way up here. I'm in New Hampshire right now, and I want to get back to New York. So let me touch this crystal to my forehead. I'm gonna stop what I'm doing and go to the craft store and grab a vision board and draw pictures of Long Island up on the vision board. And I'm going to pray and meditate about Long Island. And all of that is fine, but until I start taking my ass south, walk my ass south just like I walked my ass north, I cannot possibly get back. Do you want to know why? It sounds so simple to you right now, but it's so hard to do when you talk about spirituality. It's not that there's anything wrong with you. It's actually how your brain works. When we get back from break, I'm going to tell you how your brain works and why it works this way. And why, when I say life is simple, it's just not easy, why that's true. Let's talk about the brain a little bit. Let's make it fun. And maybe I'll get some feedback as well. Folks, you're listening to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free. I'm your host, Steve Maraboli. Check out our websites, BetterToday.com, SteveMaraboli.com, and EmpoweredLivingRadio.com. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on Pinterest, we're on YouTube. Check us out. You're listening to Empowered Living. We'll be right back.
Your beauty, just like your capacity for life, happiness, and success, is immeasurable. Day after day, countless people across the globe get on the scale in search of validation of beauty and social acceptance. Get off the scale. I have yet to see a scale that can tell you how enchanting your eyes are. I have yet to see a scale that can show you how wonderful your hair looks when the sun shines its glorious rays on it. I have yet to see a scale that can thank you for your compassion, sense of humor, and contagious smile. Get off the scale because I have yet to see one that can admire you for your perseverance when challenged in life. It's true, the scale can only give you a numerical reflection of your relationship with gravity. That's it. It cannot measure beauty, talent, purpose, life force, possibility, strength, or love. Don't give the scale more power than it has earned. Take note of the number, then get off the scale and live your life. You are beautiful.
Forget the power of one. One kind gesture, one person at a time, one day at a time.
You, with your words like knives and swords and weapons that you use against me. You have knocked me off my feet again, got me feeling like a nothing. You, with your voice like nails on a chalkboard, calling me out when I'm wounded. You, picking on the weaker man.
Welcome back. You're listening to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free. I'm your host, Steve Maraboli. Hey, make sure you check out our websites. EmpoweredLivingRadio.com has every single show we have ever done. It'll also be the place where you can find out what we're up to, where we're doing shows, how we're doing shows. Also, our website, SteveMaraboli.com, has a whole bunch of information. BetterToday.com has a bunch of information, and of course we're on Facebook. If you want to stay up to date and get some quotes and that kind of stuff, we no longer do a Better Today magazine. There was a direction, there's a decision that I made that I think that I want to again keep moving in that direction that we're moving, and in doing so, I don't want to even take your email addresses. You don't get any email from us ever. If you want information, stay abreast on the articles we find interesting. Updated information, Twitter is the place for that. Twitter.com/Steve Maraboli, one word, Steve Maraboli. There is our Facebook has quotes and also some updated information. This weekend, April 21st and 22nd, I'll be at the Whole Health Expo in Northampton, Massachusetts. And you better be ready. Oh, if you're anywhere near there and be early, because I am going to rock that and give a discussion that I am positive has never been given at a Whole Health Expo, at a spiritual expo before. We're going to rock that place. So make sure you be there in Northampton, Massachusetts. June 1st. I'll be in Birmingham, United Kingdom. We'll be rocking England. I'll bring my style over to England and see what they got going on over there. And we're going to rock that also. Again, our websites, stevemaraboli.com, bettertoday.com, and empoweredlivingradio.com. We're talking about So Now What? Before we went to break, I was telling you that these things seem so logical. If I were to drive north and I wanted to come back south, the only way I could do it is by coming south. The only way I can undo north is to come back south. That's the only way you can do it. The only way you can undo up is to come down. It seems simple, and it seems simple when we talk about it. The only thing I can do is if I ate in a certain manner that made me gain weight, it is to stop that and go the opposite direction towards health to make me lose it. It seems so logical and rational. But for some reason in our spiritual lives, in our manifesting, in our prayers and meditation, it becomes so much more difficult, and it becomes a conflict. And it's known as a conflict. If you're a doctor, you will call it cognitive dissonance. There are many different words for it, but we all know it's true. And why is it so true? Are you ready to learn a little something about how your brain works and how sneaky these bastards have been all these years? Sneaky. They even duped me for the majority, 99% of my life until now. So, your brain, as humans, what's really interesting? So by design, we have these frontal lobes, and these frontal lobes, that's where our rationality comes from. Now, your rationality, it's pretty interesting that your rationality comes. Now, it takes, for the majority, for the common, for us as humans, it takes up to your age 25. Till you're 25, for your frontal lobes to be even developed fully, it's 25. Isn't that incredible? Now that starts making sense, that you become the more rational into your late 20s. And of course, as you're a kid and moving through your teen years, of course, you are the least rational. You are more inclined to do stupid things. But you know what compounds that in our human design? This is very basic information. It's the easiest way to explain these complex things. But while your frontal lobes are developing, they are also relatively small compared to your adrenal glands. Compared to your adrenal glands. So then why especially young kids and teenagers do really, really silly things. Like maybe if you're a young kid, he jumps out of a tree thinking he can fly because he saw a Superman movie or a Spider-Man movie, or a teenager thinks it's a good idea to jump on the top of a train and ride it. The reason we say, what were they thinking? They're so stupid. How could you do something so stupid and dangerous? Well, the reason is because you have the prefrontal lobes that are too small and your adrenal glands that are too big. So you have a very small amount of rationality and a whole lot of ambition. Which on TV makes for entertainment. Watching the funniest home videos is entertaining, to see somebody put a trampoline next to a house and think that somehow it's a good idea to jump off the roof of the house onto the trampoline and not expect to go flying somewhere into a bush or a tree. That you get to watch human design at its best when you think that it's a good idea to ride your bicycle over a ramp over a lake and wonder why you go flying into the lake. These type of things entertain us. But the reason why that is because, again, adrenal glands that are too big, prefrontal lobes that are too small, a whole lot of ambition, a whole lot of courage, and but little rationale to go with it. Now, by design, this was great. Because back in the day when we were hunter-gatherers, it took a little bit of nonsense to think, oh, let me go tackle that big animal with my spear, with my knife, and kill it and feed my village. It took a certain, you didn't want to inject too much rationality into the survival mode back then. while you're walking through the jungle with wild animals, and you're trying to survive. If you had too much rationality, we would have all starved to death. Because no, that tackling that animal is a bad idea. Everyone would have starved. So by design, we needed to eat. So by design, we had a whole lot of courage, a whole lot of ambition, and not so much rationality to filter it, because it was important to our survival that we do crazy stuff. But fast forward to today, hunters aren't tackling. You know, they're outdoorsmen and oof, oof, and you could beat your chest, but you're not tackling anything. You're shooting it, you're bow and arrow. You're a nice, safe distance away. So today, we still have that design, even though we don't have that need. So many times that helps us. Some of the greatest success stories help us. I mean, it's when I tell the story of when I wanted to create a better today, as opposed to just taking the FBI, CIA jobs that I were offered, taking that, which was completely rational, and that's why my parents were like, what? Why are you even thinking of not taking it? And instead, my whole bunch of ambition said, let me start a company. I have no money, but let me start a company that's going to help people. I had a whole bunch of ambition, very little rationality. And in that situation, it worked out. Some of today's great business successes and human successes have been as a result, again, adrenal glands too big, frontal lobes too small. But how does this associate with what I was telling you? Well, while your brain processes this information, it's pretty neat. We've learned that while you process all of your regular information in one area, there's another area that you experience and process God. There's another area that you experience and process God and all that's associated. It's like a belief area of your brain. And only in this area do you suspend rationality completely. Now, this area is reserved for that kind of faith that we've heard so many times, the faith to do this, the faith to do that, incredible, miraculous kind of faith, 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 God, 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 God. So that goes into a certain area where rationality is not allowed. And you can see where there's a place for that. It's a beautiful feeling. I get it, I get it, I get it. However, what these crooks who have been selling you, not the experience of God. I'm not going to argue with you about the experience of God, of what you believe God is. That's I'm not interested in arguing with you about that at all. Remember, folks, if it's a one-legged frog in a wheelchair, I'll agree with you, and I hope you love that one-legged frog in a wheelchair. But what these crooks, that have been selling you their version of God, that have been selling you their version of spirituality and magic, what they've been doing for thousands of years, is using a language that gets you to process something instead of in your rational part into the God part. So they want to sell you something. So let's say you're a kid, you have a child, and your child comes home tomorrow, today. Your child comes home today with a white rock that they found on the floor. And they come in and say, Mom, Dad, look at this white rock. I found this white rock. It's a special white rock. I think that this is going to make me healthy and happy, and I think it's going to make me a baseball player, and I think it'll whatever. You'll look at your kid and you'll say, oh, that's cute, but you really got to go, practice your baseball, and you still got to go live your life. You'll say, that's cute that they found this rock. And if they said to you, this rock will heal me and I won't be sick, I don't have to take my medicine, whatever, you'd say, you know what, let's just take the medicine just in case. You would talk your kid out, depending. You would either tell your kid that's silly, or you'd say, oh, I'm glad you found this rock, but let's just take your medicine just in case. However it is you parent, the parenting style will be different. However, since you'll process that in the regular part of your brain, you'll know that that's not a magic rock. However, these sneaky bastards that want to sell you the rock they found on the floor, they'll use trigger words. They'll use trigger words that you've been conditioned to hear since our ancestors and our ancestors' ancestors' ancestors have been hearing these words. These are trigger words that you start hearing from the second you're born because we get indoctrinated into the religion of our parents. So these sneaky bastards will take that rock they found on the ground and they'll use words like manifest. They'll use words like miracle, faith, heal. They'll use those type of words because they know, some of them don't know, but they just follow the technique of previous people have been using for years and years and years. They'll take that same rock and they'll use those words, those trigger words, because they know if they use those words and put it into that context, you won't process the information with the rational part of your brain. Because they use those words and in a different context, this processing goes into the God part of the brain where there is no rationality, and you pick up that rock, you give them the $20, and suddenly you think that that rock's going to make you healthy. You think that that rock's going to be the answer to your question. You think that rock's going to clear your finances. You think all this stuff, and then you send me a friggin' email that says, I bought all this rocks and beads and prayers and CDs and all this stuff, and none of it helps. So, Steve, now what? We have been duped. Some people intentionally, some are unintentional. Some of the gurus, I don't think that they're conscious that they're still thinking it works. They're still thinking it works, but the only reason they think it's worse is because you guys made them rich. They still haven't done anything other than sell you their stuff. If you look into the top gurus, look at what they've actually done. They haven't done anything but be experts at being experts. That's why they tend to not like me too much. Because I tell them, I do this all for free. Second, not one of them has an educational background I have. Not one of them started at the level of living that I did and worked themselves through this process. Not one of them has done that. Not one of them has built on their own companies all over the world. Not one of them can match that, the criteria for the very success they talk about. Not one of them can match it. I've invited all of them to write books and give all of the proceeds, every single penny, to a charity. None of them have replied in the positive. Folks, the magic rock didn't get you into the financial situation you're in. It's not going to get you out. The reason you feel that it might is because you're processing it in a different part of your brain. And that's hard to undo. Because that's you as a human. That's you as a human. But I'm asking you to look at these ideas that you have and inject rationality into it. When you inject rationality into it, you inject change into it. Now, you may have stresses in your life, and prayer and meditation are going to help those stresses. They're going to help you cope with those stresses. Psychologically, they'll help you. Physiologically, they'll help you. When you pray and you meditate, you actually decrease blood flow to the amygdala, the part of your brain that feels stress. So just like, you know, your arm, you feel your hand and your arm, your fingers, they feel everything. You touch things and they feel everything. But if you lay on your arm and you put your arm to sleep because you decrease the blood flow, when your arm's asleep, start touching things. And you'll see that it's not quite sensitive to touch anymore until, you know, you get that feeling back. You get all the pins and needle feeling, you know, and when the blood comes back in. But while that blood's not coming back in, it's not as sensitive because it's not filled with the blood. So that's what prayer and meditation does to your amygdala. Your amygdala is very sensitive to your feelings. That's where you feel your stress. So when you pray and meditate, it actually decreases blood flow to the amygdala, so you actually feel a decreased sense of stress. That's true, 100%. So keep praying, keep meditating. It's wonderful. Where it becomes poison is where you think that prayer and that meditation is going to get you out of the situation you're stressing about. I could have ran all the way north and been in New Hampshire, and I could be stressed about that, and I could pray and meditate about it, and it might make me feel better about being all the way up north. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with feeling great. But it becomes poison when I think that it's going to get me any closer to being back home south. That's when I start throwing my days away. And I prayed and I meditated and I vision board, but I'm still up here. And I prayed and I meditated and vision board, I'm still up here. I bought the CD set. I bought the miracle button. I bought the rocks, the jewels. The people told me I was an indigo child, so I'm going on that. I bought the I'm an indigo child shirt and headband, and I bought all this stuff, and I did the incense, and I did the circle, and I walked through this circle maze thing that whatever. But I'm still up here. Why aren't I back yet? You're not back yet because you haven't done anything to get you to where you want to be. You've just done things to help you cope, to help you cope with a situation you don't want to be in. Folks, when you ask me, so now what? Are you done just going through the motions of coping with a situation you don't want to be in? If the answer to that is yes, then do the most spiritually empowering thing you can do. Inject your human rationality into it. Get up, make a plan, and start moving. The journey is yours. The journey is wonderful. The journey is powerful. It's insightful. It's humbling. It's humorous. It's informative. It's loving. It's betraying. The journey is long and wonderful. But you got to be on it to get somewhere. It's a new day. Let's upgrade our version of ourselves. Recognize how powerful we are and that we are the point of origin for everything in our lives. We got us there. We'll get us out of there. Today is a new day, and it is your day. And this New Yorker loves you. Hey, check out our websites, empoweredlivingradio.com, stevemaraboli.com. Get out there and make a difference. You're listening to Empowered Living. I'm Steve Maraboli. We'll see you next time.
A Better Today would like to thank you for listening to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free.